It's Financial Freedom Friday, and on this episode of the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, we are going to break down the complex issue of cap rates.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide you with actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I'm here with Neil Timmons. During this episode, you are going to discover why cap rates don't matter as much as everyone claims that they do. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from real estate. Before I open up today's episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the show so that you never miss a viable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to take a look at the description of this episode as we have it packed with thousands of dollars in free resources. All right, Neil, another Financial Freedom Friday. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's going to be a fun one. I love talking about cap rates.
Yes, it's a metric that gets thrown around a lot. And so we wanted to talk about it, the good, the bad, the misconceptions. So I'm going to start out with some stats. Keep in mind, this is a broad cap rates across the U.S. reported by Statista. So I'm not looking at any specific market here, just broad U.S. 2022 cap rates for four asset types. Retail cap rates in 2022 were 5.84% for office, 5.3%, industrial 4.54%, and multifamily apartments 4.55%. And then for 2023, they were reporting, obviously not through the end of the year, but so far in 2023, retail cap rates have bumped up to 6.39%, office up to 5.8%, industrial up just a little bit to 4.99%, and multifamily up to 5.01%. So that's where we're at right now. And if this is all gibberish to you, we're going to go over really quickly what even is a cap rate. Cap rate stands for capitalization rate. And what you need to know is it's used as a benchmark, a metric to evaluate the potential profitability of an investment property. And a lot of investors, people in the industry, throw around cap rates just left and right all of the time. And it is a metric that is a pretty simple calculation. It's the net operating income of a property over the purchase price times 100. Neil, can you break down for us what is the relationship between the income, the purchase price, and how that comes together in the cap rate?
Yeah. The easiest way to understand cap rate, in my opinion, is if you pay it all cash, this is your rate of return in the first year. It is just that simple. And there's a lot of reasons. It does not matter as much as people think it does. And so I'm glad this is always a fun episode for me because you can expand upon that. But mathematically, it's just that simple. If you got income at $100,000, the place is $1 million, it's a 10 cap for simple math. How about that?
Yep, that's great. And so people use cap rates broadly to help them assess the return that they can expect. They use it as a metric to determine whether or not it's something someone will invest in. You'll hear people that will say, I won't invest in anything with X cap rate, or I only invest in X to Y cap rate range. And higher cap rates usually indicate, are supposed to indicate, a potentially better return on your investment. Also higher risk, very compressed. Lower cap rates, the opposite, smaller, more stabilized returns. But the cap rate, like Neil already mentioned, misses out on a lot of things. But before we get to that, let's just quickly run over two other terms that you may have heard of: cap rate compression and cap rate expansion. Neil, can you talk about what those mean?
Yeah. So a cap rate compression is when they get reduced. So we saw a lot of cap rate compression coming through 2018, 2019, 2020, where cap rates would be reducing, coming smaller. So that means the property is becoming more valuable as a 7 cap turned into a 6, turned into a 5 cap. And that largely had to do with a multitude of things. But the biggest driver there was the fact that money got cheaper, got less expensive, and demand increased. And therefore, you had a lot of cap rate compression. Now, what we're seeing is the opposite of that today. Money's more expensive today than it was even just a year ago. And so you're seeing cap rate expansion. Cap rate expansion also happens, generally speaking, naturally, even in a flat interest rate environment. That is because your building is becoming less valuable over a period of time, meaning it is depreciating. Building that is 5 years older or 10 years older than what it was in previous, it's just less, it's worth less than that's a building that's newer with all other items being equal. Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
So would it be fair to say for investors, just the quick takeaway here is that cap rate compression then also means that the property price will go up. And inversely, if the cap rate is expanding, the price is going to be declining.
You got it.
So if you hear those terms thrown around, that's what you have to think of. There's an inverse relationship between those two numbers. And a lot of investors use cap rate expansion to also measure additional risk, lower property value, and you hear people talk about in-place cap rate and exit cap and exit cap assumption. I want you to break down, you've mentioned at the top of this episode that cap rates are not your favorite metric. What do you think they miss out on?
Well, they miss out on the overall return. What I mean by that, for example, is the cap rate is simply just a snapshot in time for what does it look like right now. What it misses is what happens if something changes from right now. So what happens if, for example, you bought a building and make up as a retail building and it's 15% vacant and this is the cap rate today as exists, but what happens if you go in and fill some of that vacancy? Well, the rate of return immediately changes, therefore your cap rate changes. And so I think it's great for a quick snapshot, but it misses that some of the ability to add value, so such as renovations, such as expense reduction. It doesn't look on a forward-looking basis as to what things look like. And so we often get asked, hey, what cap rate do you buy at? And I always say, we're not cap rate buyers because it's irrelevant. I'm a rate of return buyer. What's our rate of return look like over the course of 3 years, over the course of 5 years, over the course of 7 and 10 years? Are there opportunities to add value? In some cases, the answer is no. Your cap rate is all you're ever going to get. You bought a Starbucks, they're going to tell you what they're going to pay now and every year from now for the next 15 years. It's pretty simple to address what is your rate of return there, but it misses a bunch of other things.
So it's fair to say that cap rates miss out on future value, but they also could disguise future risk. You used vacancy as an example. What would happen to the cap rate if, say, for an apartment building, you bought it and it was 90% occupied and you have terrible property management. And when you're looking to resell, now we're at 60% vacancy.
Sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That has to go in there. man, well, let's say you're at 100% occupied and you're going to buy that apartment complex with 100% occupancy, and that's how you've underwritten it. Well, it's poor underwriting because the historical standard, there is a level of vacancy associated with it, and that needs to be discounted and then applied to it. And ultimately, that would change your cap rate if you were to apply a level of vacancy in your underwriting model to do so. And therefore, it's a great snapshot, but it's not the end all when it comes to valuing the property or making the offer on the property. There's oftentimes other drivers, and that's not being one. It has become the most popular one because it's the easiest thing to search by. It's the easiest thing to comprehend. The challenge is, in many cases, when I look at brokers' offer memorandums, is that they do a number of things to their income. Oftentimes, it's pro forma based, and therefore, they're utilizing pro forma just simply means made up. Their pro forma income, and then applying it to a cap rate. And then you're going, okay, well, part of this stuff isn't even true today, right? It doesn't accurately represent what's taking place in a historical standard in the property right now.
If you were to, let's say you're an investor driver's seat, you're looking to be a limited partner on a deal. If cap rates are getting thrown around a lot, what are some other metrics that you think investors should definitely pay attention to give them more clarity about the future and other things when they're looking at potential opportunities?
Yeah, the biggest ones as a limited partner looking at an opportunity. For me, top two are, what's my cash on cash return? So what does that cash flow look like? When am I actually going to receive distributions? And then the second one being, what's the IRR? Because, and that normally comes when events happen. Either you're getting all your money back, either through a refinance, which is very challenging to accomplish, unless it's a very heavy lift, heavy value add, or there's a sale that takes place. And so that ultimately closes that loop on that IRR, because the IRR, it's largely event driven, which means refinance and or the sale of the property.
All right. So let's boil it down to some takeaways for investors listening to this podcast episode. One thing you need to be aware of is that cap rates, Neil just mentioned this, they can be messed with. Maybe that's not a kind word, but they can be distorted by changing the income on the property to reflect a more attractive cap rate. As an investor, that's something you need to look out for. And Neil gave his two favorite alternatives or better options, cash on cash return and IRR. But as an investor, you need to keep in mind that you have to figure out for yourself what return metrics are important to you. Are you investing for very consistent cash flow? Are you someone who's more comfortable with a little bit of extra risk in some type of value add deal? And you have to determine for yourself, what's your ultimate goal of being invested in any kind of opportunity? And based on those long-term financial goals for yourself, then you'll be able to narrow down and determine, how do I tie together my financial goals and the kinds of return metrics that I look for? That way, you don't get distracted by shiny cap rates, smoke and mirrors, and you can really drill down into the numbers. Because at the end of the day, that's what's really going to matter, is solid underwriting and numbers that make sense and that help you meet your financial income goals.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.